Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. This is quarter number one, brought to you by GoPSU RV and celebrating the return of the fans. Mark is having a giveaway of an RV weekend for the first home game versus Ball State. Go to our Keystone Sports app. You'll see the button right there to enter to win. That's right, a free RV for the Ball State weekend. That's the first home game of the year. And for more info, go to gopsurv.com or you can call Mark at 800-519-8467. It is quarter number one, post 4th of July weekend. Dustin, did you have a good 4th? And are you ready to talk Penn State football?
Oh, man, the fireworks were flying on the 4th. I mentioned to you earlier we're preparing for a trip to Florida. Perfect timing with Hurricane Elsa coming through, so I'll take responsibility for that, Florida. I just can't recall a much busier weekend when it comes to Penn State stuff, when it comes to recruiting, and it just kind of all came up roses for James Franklin this weekend.
It sure did. We can't be surprised about any one of the five commitments. They all seem to be leaning Penn State's way at the very least. But the fact that they went 5 for 5 over this weekend, you're right. It was total and complete fireworks on the recruiting front, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 5 for 5, 5 in 3 days. These are all really, really good players, Jim. And I know we'll get into all of them individually here, and we'll spend a good bit of today's show really just talking about each of these guys, and honestly, looking at what's next, and taking a big picture look at what this class is. But you know, especially the three guys who committed on Sunday, they all to me are attributes guys. You know, I think they've accomplished quite a bit, but you look at all three of them and they all do something that's a little bit special, or they're built a little bit different, or they have a little bit of an X factor to their game. And I don't know if I wouldn't call them underappreciated from the national recruiting services, but these are certainly three guys that Penn State liked more than the recruiting services did. And I think that's just become a little bit of a trend, especially over these last three classes, is Penn State has their evaluations and they are sticking with their evaluations. They don't care. And James Franklin has said this often, but they don't care what the star ratings say. They have high opinions of all three of these guys. And looking at their film, you know, why wouldn't they, is my thought.
Well, a couple thoughts on that, Dustin. I do believe in the last couple years, I hate the expression, well, this was their option B or C or D, but they weren't necessarily the first choices on their list. The difference is this year, these players seem to be the first choices on their list. And a little bit with the recruiting rankings, if there was ever a year not to believe them 100%, this would be the year. There were so many players who they either didn't have a senior year or junior year, or they had 2 or 3 games played, and they weren't at the camp, so you didn't have that evaluation. So if there was ever a year where you need to trust the coach's evaluation versus these national rating systems, I think this would be that year.
100%. Game film is lacking in a lot of cases. And all three of these guys, you know, especially, you know, Zane Durant and Tyrese Fearbree, there are some variables that, you know, that I don't think are any means impediments to them developing into good players. What they are is they're impediments to them being, you know, more highly regarded from a national standpoint. But again, Penn State doesn't care about that. There are always going to be variables with players to get from point A, where they are now, to point B, which is being a Big Ten caliber starter. Penn State's just picking and choosing what those variables are, and they're going with guys that they like. And like I said, each of these three guys does something a little special.
All right, well, let's hold on to those three. Let's go all the way back to Friday, the old news, and let's start there, Dustin, with You know, our old friends at Lackawanna Community College, the JUCO school that seems to be a feeder system for Penn State. Penn State went there and got offensive tackle J.B. Nelson. He's 6'6", 310 pounds. At least those numbers point you to the prototypical tackle position. He also had offers from West Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina State, and Ole Miss. And he was highly regarded a JUCO player. The question I have, Dustin, is it seems like those JUCO guys, they don't get a comparable rating with all of the high school players, so they're even more of an unknown.
Well, and I think they are more of an unknown just from a, you know, not to even from a rating standpoint, just from a development standpoint. And then, you know, being an offensive tackle is an interesting thing coming from a junior college because so much development has to happen between their senior season at their high school and when they arrive on a college campus, whenever that is. That you have to really obviously put some faith in the program that you're recruiting from, in this case, Lackawanna College. In this case, no question that Penn State trusts their development because, you know, you don't get two guys in 2020. You don't get two guys in the 22 class. You don't get two guys in 2019 if you don't trust where Lackawanna is coming from. The offensive tackle position is interesting because – you know, I think in a perfect world, obviously you would love to be the program that starts that development process, but Penn State is not. And J.B. Nelson will arrive, you know, with a little bit less time to develop. So you need Lackawanna to have done its job with this kid. I mean, he looks the part at 6'6", 310. I mean, he's everything you want in a tackle. And other programs, other top-notch programs have taken notice of that. This is a weird year. Speaking of all the game film and stuff, a weird year to be recruiting JUCOs because there's just not a lot of exposure for these guys. And I think, you know, had this year been a little bit different, maybe J.B. Nelson's recruitment would have been a little bit different. Maybe Tyrese Mills, his teammate, his recruitment would have been a little bit different. But I think the loss of everybody else is probably Penn State's gain. There's a little bit less competition than usual, maybe, for a guy like J.B. Nelson, who absolutely looks the part. I think Phil Troutwine can really work with this kid and get him up to speed and make use of those physical skills.
And he's another in-state kid. And Penn State does have that advantage of being the local team, that they will see the Lackawanna players more, and they have that relationship with them. I'm sure there's conversations with that coaching staff up there on the various players that can potentially make their way to Penn State. All right, let's move on to Saturday's commitment. Speaking of Penn State or Pennsylvania commits, Philadelphia linebacker Keon Wiley, he's the three-star linebacker from Imhotep in Philadelphia, listed at 6'3", 210 pounds. What did you see when you watched his tape, Dusty?
Well, he's another one. Not a lot of sample to work with as from a junior film standpoint. He was also in his highlights, and I assume, you know, highlights aren't everything. I assume that this was the case pretty much all year. He was working with his hand in the dirt. He was working as a defensive end. And from that spot, he did some really impressive stuff to me. Violent hands, physical, just seemed to have a good idea of leverage and how to get to where he's going. You know, the variable with him, and probably why you're looking at a three-star and not a four-star, probably, you know, one of the reasons I believe that Keon Wiley is going to elevate between now and the end of his senior season, You're I believe, going to get more true linebacker tape. You're going to be able to see him in space. You're going to be able to see him move. He shows all those attributes, but I don't think without – if he's being recruited as a linebacker without a lot of recent linebacker film, that's one of the reasons that his rating might be suppressed a bit. 6'3", 210, I mean, it's going to be really easy to see this kid at 6'3", 225, being able to work at – I think any of the three linebacker spots. I know his coach told 24/7 Sports he sees that as a path for Keon Wiley, but you can see him being the guy who's working in space, who's working on the weak side of the field. You can see him being the guy who's stout against the run, who's physical, who's working on the strong side. And you can see him being, you know, the leader in the middle of the defense, who's doing a little bit of everything as the middle linebacker. So really interesting piece for Penn State. And in this case, probably more than the other guys that Penn State landed over the weekend, I see a really quick path for Keon Wiley to improve his national rating.
That happens quite a bit, though, when you see the player playing out of position, say, in his junior year, so when the ratings come out. If you remember Lonnie White, he was playing quarterback, which obviously was not going to be his position in college. So he didn't have that tape at wide receiver where he's going to end up. And I do believe Penn State has had some experience with taking a guy who played defensive end in high school, then turned him into a linebacker. And didn't he end up like a top 10 draft pick, something like that, Dusty?
So you heard it here first. Jim's calling Keon Wiley a first-round draft pick several years from now. You heard it here first. You've heard a lot of firsts on this show. There's one for you right there. But, yeah, I mean, obviously Micah was different from everybody. You know, he was 250 or 240 in high school. He was a big-time running back. He was, did everything off the edge. But, the transition, I think, is kind of similar in that you're not getting a full-time linebacker. How does that player, in this case Keon Wiley, adapt to that when he gets to the next level? He's still very much going to be learning on the job also. So there's your variable with him. 1 year at linebacker, and I honestly could not tell you freshman, sophomore, what role he played for Imhotep, but looking at him as a senior playing a true linebacker position, he's still going to be learning when he gets to Penn State. But he looks like, just physically, he can do more than just hold up at that spot.
So you heard it here first. I call them a first-round draft pick. Dusty's calling them the next Micah Parsons. Heard it here first. Let's address, though, Dustin, the last minute we have here. I also think it's important they got another Philadelphia player, and more specifically even a player from Imhotep, which has a very good program. I think that's important.
It is important, and, getting a good player from Imhotep does increase your odds of getting the next good player from Imhotep. It's not tried and true. It's not 100%. You have a five-star whose recruitment goes national, and obviously you can see what happens with that. But I think credit goes to Deion Barnes. You see a lot of positive vibes coming from him with those Philadelphia roots, coached there, played at Penn State, went on to the NFL. He's got a lot of credibility in that Philadelphia area, and I think we're just starting to see Penn State reap some of the rewards of that.
You're exactly right. His name keeps popping up over and over again, and that's a good sign for the future of Penn State recruiting in that Philadelphia area, which is really important. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, we're going to keep talking about these recruits from the weekend, so stay tuned. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.